Progressive Talk.
English is becoming the alternative to Mitt Romney.
Dick Bennett at American Research Group, which says the latest South Carolina poll has Gingrich ahead of Romney, 33-32%, a virtual dead heat going into tonight's debate in Charleston. Gingrich is riding high on the endorsement today of Texas Governor Rick Perry, who pulled out of the race.
Celeste and I both like Rick and Anita very much, and they have a relationship that goes back for years, and I actually wrote the foreword to his last book.
Gingrich's second wife is talking. Mary Ann talked to ABC's Nightline.
I said to him, we've been married a long time, and he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
Gingrich told reporters he won't say anything against his ex-wife. His two daughters, he says, though, have written to ABC calling the interview tawdry and inappropriate. In Tacoma and in Seattle, the kids are sledding on a foot of new snow, and parents are sliding all over the highways. CBS's Ben Tracy.
The roads are very slick, and if you know anything about Seattle, it's a very hilly town. So downtown, you have these very steep hills, and most of them are closed. They've just closed them off to traffic because cars will basically just slide right down them.
The governor has declared an emergency. A second military officer has recommended military court-martial for Private Bradley Manning in the WikiLeaks scandal. He allegedly gave more than 700,000 secret U.S. documents to the website. It's a step closer to a military trial for Manning. There's a new report on Army suicides and other violence in the home.
Last year saw the first drop in Army suicide rates in 4 years. At the same time, there was an increase in hospitalizations of soldiers who talk about killing themselves. And there was a 50% increase in domestic abuse over a three-year period. Outgoing Vice Chief of Staff General Peter Corelli pointed to an all-volunteer force stressed by over a decade of war.
CBS's Pam Coulter in Washington. The mandate of the Arab League Observer Group ends today in Syria. Reem Alaf at Chatham House in London says it was not an entirely useless endeavor.
No matter what the regime tried to do, some monitors did get to see anti-regime protests and did get to some of the towns where the people were massively against the regime.
She says don't expect the Arab League to actually do anything in Syria, though observers may very well stay there for a while longer. On Wall Street, the Dow up 17 points, Nasdaq's gained 13. Oil prices pretty steady at more than $100 a barrel. Palestinians won't be allowed to participate as American Idol-style contestants on The New Star. Hamas has decreed that the singing competition is indecent and a violation of Islamist law and won't be allowed there. On the same day, Hamas police beat up some members of the tiny Shiite minority who tried to hold a religious ceremony in Gaza. This is CBS News.
An idea is born, but your team lives worlds apart. No problem. Welcome to GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the easy way to meet online and face-to-face with high-definition video. Simply launch or join a meeting with one click from any computer, share screens in real time, and edit documents together. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and enter promo code 45. GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Try it free today.
The National Disaster Search Dog Foundation makes emergency response in America stronger. They partner rescue dogs with firefighters to save people who are buried alive in a disaster. Your donation from $10 to $10,000 can help rescue and train a dog and ensure that when disaster strikes, no one is left behind. Please be part of the search. To contribute, call 888-459-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. That's 888-459-HERO or searchdogfoundation.org.
The mysterious Edgar Allan Poe toaster has evidently faded away into the lore of the poet.
The visitor cloaked in mystery, who since 1949 left roses and a half bottle of cognac at Edgar Allan Poe's grave in Baltimore on the poet's birthday, was a no-show for the third straight year. Now, Poe Museum curator Jeff Jerome says the tradition will go on nevermore.
It is a little sad, but life goes on.
Jerome says three imposters tried to pass as the real thing, but he could tell they were fakes. Steve Fremier for CBS News, Baltimore.
Why would a couple of men from Ireland want to steal an American flag when they can buy one at any souvenir shop or order one online delivered? Police in Knoxville want to know that. They say two visitors from Dublin hopped out of a cab, cut the rope holding the flag fluttering over the Tennessee Valley Authority headquarters in Knoxville, bundled it under an arm, and took the cab to the hotel where they were arrested. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
Millions of fans agree. Cable's new hit series is on the Weather Channel.
So let's go!
Coast Guard Alaska.
If we don't get on scene, no one else will.
Fly along on bone-chilling rescues in some of the world's most extreme weather.
If you make a mistake, I'll call someone their life.
Out here, heroes come in waves.
You have the potential to save someone that's out there.
The Coast Guard here in Alaska really are the best of the best.
Coast Guard Alaska, Wednesday nights at 9, only on the Weather Channel.
Farmer's Market tonight, San Luis Obispo.
If I was a farmer, I'd stay home.
It's going to be cold.
And now, here's Bill Benica.
Hi, Bill Benica, 1340 KYMS, Talkers Sheep, your friends and neighbors. Yee-haw. Hey, another thing, too, I want to mention. I'm not going to mention any weatherman's name, but we're supposedly in San Luis Obispo. I wasn't supposed to get below freezing last night, so luckily I left some of the things I had covering certain plants that don't like the cold. Luckily I had left them on thinking, well, I'll just leave my one more night because it was 30 degrees when I got up today. Isn't that below freezing? Is it 32? Yeah. Okay. Other things going on. Maybe you haven't heard this yet, so if you haven't heard it yet, you'll hear it from me first. Matter of fact, there's something else you're going to hear from me first when we do the news. But here's the thing that, you may not have heard from. You know the capsized cruise ship? You know what the captain's nickname is? Chicken of the Sea.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Benica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Get hooked on Charter Digital. Choice, convenience, clarity, control. Get hooked on Charter High Speed on your internet. It's faster, it's more convenient, and it's a lot easier. Get hooked on Charter DVR. Record programs when you want to see them. Watch them back when you want to see them. Get hooked on Charter HDTV and see the cleanest, clearest picture you've ever seen on TV. Get hooked on Charter and go where satellite can't. Call 1-866-332-6749 today. That's 1-866-332-6749. Charter. Get hooked.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
That's right. All right, it's today. It's Thursday, and we're going to look at what's going on today in our world, and then we'll get to the other stuff that's going on in our world today. But this is the who's it's and what's it's and what happened on this day in history, and I'm going to share it with you now. Our flashback, according to the Tribune, is our highlight in history on January 19, 1862. Union forces won a victory over the Confederates in the Civil War Battle of Mill Springs in southeastern Kentucky. On this date in 1861, Georgia became the fifth state to secede from the Union. In 1937, millionaire Howard Hughes set a transcontinental air record by flying his monoplane from L.A. to Newark, New Jersey in 7 hours, 28 minutes, and 25 seconds. In 1966, Indira Gandhi was elected Prime Minister of India. 1981, the United States and Iran signed an accord paving the way for the release of 52 Americans held hostage for more than 14 months. And there's a lot more to that story, but that's all we got right there. 5 years ago, Denny Dougherty, a member of the 1960s folk rock group The Mamas and the Papas, died near Toronto at the age of 66. Our birthdays today, former UN Secretary General Javier Perez de Cuellar is 92. Actress Tippi Hedren is 82. Country singer Dolly Parton is 66. TV chef, who's been in the news a lot, Paula Deen is 65. Actor Desi Arnaz Jr. is 59. And actress Katie Segal is 58. We'll say happy birthday to them. A special happy birthday to you if it's your birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henney. They're friends of mine, really nice friends. And that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Have our CalCoast News update, and here we have a San Luis Obispo woman that died in a fire last night at her home on Al Hill Street. Firefighters arrived about 7 p.m. to find flames and heavy smoke billowing from the house. Neighbors told firefighters they suspected an elderly woman was still in the home. Fire personnel entered the burning single-family home with hose lines, battling the fire while searching for the reported victim. They found the resident, carried her outside, and initiated emergency life support with CPR. An ambulance then transported the woman to Sierra Vista. Dispatcher sent 22 San Luis Obispo firefighters, approximately 20 firefighters from CAL FIRE, San Luis Obispo, San Luis ambulance personnel, and Slough Police Department personnel to help battle the fire and secure the scene, which is a total of 40-some-odd people. The home was heavily damaged by smoke and fire with an estimated loss of $200,000. No other structures were damaged. Fire investigators have determined that the cause of the fire was accidental result of an unattended stove in the kitchen. The woman's last name was Beck, and she and her husband at one time owned Swenson's Ice Cream Parlor in downtown San Luis Obispo on Hank Bear Street. Other things that are happening in the world. Federal prosecutors have seized four more pot shop buildings as part of a continuing crackdown As a part of a continuing crackdown on California's medical marijuana dispensaries, federal prosecutors filed forfeiture actions against the owners of four properties housing marijuana storefronts in L.A. and Orange counties on Wednesday, according to a press release. U.S. prosecutors announced in October that they're using property seizures and criminal charges to crack down on California's medical marijuana dispensary owners and operators. On Wednesday, prosecutors also filed three asset forfeiture complaints against buildings in Costa Mesa, where marijuana stores are operating, and sent warning letters to nearly two dozen pot shops also operating in Costa Mesa. So here's the quote at the end. It is important to note that the for-profit commercial marijuana operations are illegal not only under federal law but also under California law, said the United States Attorney Andre Briotti. While California law permits collective cultivation of marijuana in limited circumstances, it does not allow commercial distribution through the storefront model we see across California. Sorta. You know, sort of, kind of, sort of, I believe that, sort of, kind of, not necessarily. No. All right, and then the question on some people's minds is the stolen guns. Was that the reason that Paul Brown, one-time San Luis Obispo restaurateur and city council member, has resigned from his officer training position with the Morro Bay Police Department? What do you think? Officials said Brown turned in his resignation Wednesday. No reason has been forthcoming. It was his ninth week of 14-week field training session when CalCoast News reported he had left an unregistered .38 caliber revolver and a loaded semi-automatic pistol in the center console of his personal car when he went home for the evening. Brown discovered the guns were missing and reports the theft of the San Luis Obispo police. So anyway, he said, I left my car unlocked. I wish I could relive that moment. Brown was a longtime owner of Mother's Tavern, made an unsuccessful bid for mayor of San Luis Obispo. So he says he's got some other irons in the fire. Not being too specific about what those are. But said he's got other things that he's thinking about. Maybe be a fireman next time. Here's Uncovered San Luis Obispo, and this is Karen Vealey's story, and she'll be in tomorrow. This is beyond weird. San Luis Obispo County Supervisor Adam Hill admitted Wednesday he impersonated his political opponent and now says it was just a joke. On January 6th, the San Luis Obispo Tribune printed a letter to the editor from Sheila Blake asking readers to help her convince LAFCO to vote against annexing the proposed Los Robles Del Mar development in the city of Pismo Beach, which has divided many in the South County Beach community. On the same morning, Hill left the following message on Blake's answering machine, calling her names and claiming to be Ed Waggy, Hill's opponent in the District 3 supervisor race. He said, because I'm not going to try to play it again, "Hi, Ms. Blake, I read your letter to the Tribune. Are you a communist or a socialist or both, or maybe a Marxist? This is Ed Waggy. Just wanted to let you know what I thought. I listened to the message, which she claimed she did not think sounded like either candidate. She called Waggy to tell him about the impersonation. Blake then allowed Waggy to make an audio copy of the call, which he provided to Calculus News. I am disappointed Adam Hill would make a phone call and pretend the phone call was for me, Waggy said. On Monday, Hill received the following questions from a reporter and subsequently refused to answer questions about the phone message after being provided a transcript of the Blake call. I have a voice message that was left on an answer machine of a Pismo Beach resident who had an open opinion letter in the Tribune, the Cal Coast News reporter wrote in an email to Hill. And while the call says it's from Ed Waggy, several people contend it's you. How do you respond to allegations you made the call? Hill responded in an email on Monday saying the questions were malicious, gotcha stuff, and hoped he could. The reporter was confident that he constant campaign of defamation against him could not be proved to show actual malice. On Wednesday evening, Blake says Hill, a good friend, called to explain that he had made the call as an innocent joke. I acted so swiftly to call Ed Waggy. Adam Hill never got a chance to call back and tease me about the call. Blake said even though it had been 9 days since she had provided the tape to Waggy. Hill said Wednesday did not remember making the call when asked about it on Monday. I did not even know what the heck you were asking about when you emailed me the night before you ran your story, Hill wrote in an email on Wednesday. And that is the way it is on CalCoastNews.com today.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
Weird story. What a weird story. What a weird story. Okay, so one of the things that's going on, just to follow up on yesterday's story, in Hollywood, you may have heard about the Hollywood sign, they found a head in a bag, and now they've found some other parts. So apparently, they don't know if they're going to find it all. They don't know what's going on, but they'll see what they're going to find out because of it. Okay. Here's another thing that was a curious thing, I thought. I was watching the news, and so here's what's going on. I can't think of her name. It doesn't matter. What kind of name? I guess it would be. But anyway, the lady that did Hurt Locker, okay, was Cameron's ex-wife. Whoever it was. So she's Judith. So she's doing a movie about the operation that got Osama bin Laden. Well, now it appears that, according to some in the Homeland Security, that she possibly got confidential information about how the raid went and some of the things, the aspects about the raid. And so now they're trying to discover whether or not, what she knows and when she knew it and how she get the information. So this is it's funny because, oftentimes after Tom Clancy wrote a book when he first started his career, everybody would go, how in the hell did the guy find that out? You know what I'm saying? How do you find that out? And so Tom Clancy would always say, oh, it's on the Internet. You can just find this stuff on the Internet, And yet he's the only one that knew the stuff or knew where to find it on the Internet, apparently. So anyway, that was kind of weird. So now there's some possibility, perhaps, this is just a possibility, perhaps, that they'll have to screen the movie for the CIA and the FBI and the NSA and everybody and the grandma before they actually release it, to make sure there isn't something in there that we don't want somebody else to know. I don't know what we can tell them that they don't already know. The helicopter, they got the helicopter, what was left of it. We just got a drone, I don't know what's left that's secret, but okay. Okay. Anyone that was complicit in the operation, of course, would be, they wouldn't want to reveal that. I don't think they'd reveal that. They're not that crazy, are they? Okay. Catherine Bigelow. I knew it would come. It would come, but I've had concussions. Catherine Bigelow. She's actually making it with somebody else, in conjunction with somebody else. Okay. Other things going on. I have to find there's another term that I heard yesterday on the news that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And and here's the next, but here's another one that I have to share with you. They were talking about the capsized boat, and they were talking about how, you know, possibly they could pull with cables from the bottom towards the shore and from the top of the superstructure to the seaward and see if they could right it. And then this is after they repaired some of the damage, and then they got to pump out the fuel, and they got to pump out the water, and then perhaps they can float it and actually get it someplace to be, you know, salvaged, I guess. They use this term, and it's idiotic, to tell you the truth. They say, and they would have to do it with a certain, they'd have to do this, they have to do this, this, this. And, of course, because it is the final resting place, it's believed now for, you know, all, 29 people, that it's also, they need to have respectful quiet. Can you salvage a ship and have respectful quiet? How do you do that? Rubber hammers. Anyhow, I don't understand why they'd say such a thing, but I understand. They have to. They can respect, of course, the fact that there are probably people that are not alive on the thing now. I understand that. But then we had a story here. We had a story just today that, and then somebody said, "But life goes on." Oh, it was the Edgar Allan. It was Edgar Allan Poe's story. The guy said, "Life goes on." It hasn't gone on for Edgar Allan Poe, has it? Okay. Here are these funny expressions. You go, say what? I'm going to bring this out right away because I think this is really neat. I think it's neat, and I think it's kind of weird, to tell you the truth. I don't mind saying so because any time people get an athletic scholarship, you know, I think it's neat that they do. I mean, I guess I do. I'm not sure what I think. If you're swift of foot, like Jordan Hasse and Templeton High's Savannah Camacho, she's going to go to Oklahoma State. And she got a full scholarship, which is really cool. I mean, I think that's very neat that she got that. But it's interesting that, you know, you, if you're just a smart jamoke, you know, you maybe can get a scholarship, maybe not. And then, but if you're fleet of foot, or, you know, you can throw a javelin, or you can, whatever, you know, you can play water polo, you can get a scholarship. Okay. Now, the original intention is, so you have, what is it called, Article 11, Chapter 11? No, it's not what it's called, Article 9 or whatever the heck the thing is. And so they get this thing where you have you have to have as much money going to women's sports as they do into men's sports. Now, you have to realize something. The original scholarship idea had to do with men's sports that brought money into the schools. So they would give a football or a basketball or baseball scholarship to some guy, and then he would play, and he would be an attraction, a draw, and people would come and want to see the person or persons, and then they'd spend more money, and they'd donate to the school, and all kinds of good things would happen. Then when they said, okay, well, everybody has to be the same, Title IX, they said everybody has to be the same, men and women, and so, which is okay, man, that's fine with me. Doesn't matter to me one way or the other. But what's interesting, though, is that now, so as many women have to get scholarships as men get scholarships, but the sport that they might be involved in may not make a dime for the school. Just letting you know how the background of that thing is kind of different from that stuff. Okay. She's a great runner, so good for her. All right. Anything else? Serena and Sharapova advance. Playing tennis in Melbourne. So that's it for sports. That's all I had right there. Father-daughter win at Nacimiento. That's fishing. Now, I want to do this right now. I'm going to do Spencer's with you right now, I'll tell you that, because there is something in the offing that is very, very special that I want you to know about is Spencer's Fresh Markets, and this is a thick-cut restaurant-style Spencer's Prime, not select, not choice, not, you know, hot dogs. Spencer's Prime, top sirloin steaks, $5.99 a pound. Now, if you've even fallen on tough times, you know, heavens knows, if you fall on tough times, treat yourself to a piece of prime meat that's actually excellent. You'll love it, and you'll be so happy you did because you say that's really, really good. And you're going to pay a lot less at $5.99 a pound
You're going to pay a lot less than if you went to the got a prime piece of meat at a restaurant that has cost you, you know, $25. All right, so I'm just suggesting that. I think it's a good idea. Red Delicious, our Fuji apples are 69 cents, and then 99 cents for other green leaf lettuce, and then 79 cents for Hass avocados. That's a piece. And then they have other great things going on. Well, here's the thing you have to know. And here's the, I just got such a kick out of this name. Sunny Roost Whole Frying Chickens. Sounds kind of happy, doesn't it? Sunny Roost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or it sounds like a guy's name. Anyway, so that those were probably happy chickens, you know, before they became food. Anyhow, then I have all that here. This pretty much sums it up right here. Wine, liquor, and beer. I have big games coming up. And then here's another thing right here. Jumbo chicken wings of fire. Wings of fire. $3.99 a pound. Party favorite right there. And they have just everything you need, to, all the produce and whatnot you need, everything you have to have to have a good time and have good food in your home and all that. And don't forget they're an IGA store, so you can get some of your standard stuff at huge discount prices, and that makes a whole lot of sense to do, too. They have chili. They have apple juice. You know, they have a ranch dressing. Here's cat litter. I mean, do you care what the brand of cat litter is you're using? The cat doesn't even care. Sweet relish, the whole thing. And then don't forget, 2 days, either park, $99 for Disneyland. You can buy your tickets at Spencer's Fresh Markets in 5 locations on the Central Coast, in Morro Bay, Aurora Grande, Atascadero, Santa Maria, and San Luis Obispo. And don't forget, prime top sirloin steaks.
You can't beat that.
Now, you can't beat that with a stick. All right. Now, the other thing I want to tell you about is, you know who's sponsoring us part of the day? It's Carol Phillips, Dr. Carol Phillips from the Swiss Dental Center, and we'll hear from her. And she'll fix up, she does implants. She's the implant queen of the entire Central Coast. She knows more about than anybody. And she does all her own stuff on site, which is really cool, you know. So you don't have to send off and hope something comes back that's right, you know. You get somebody else's tooth and it doesn't work right, you know. Now this is, they do it right there, so everything's fine. Okay, I thought I'd share that with you. Okay, we're sharing stuff right now. Yeah, okay, and then here's the... You knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. You know, all of a sudden we found out that we had no rules for zip lines. All right? So it says right here, San Luis County, this is the headline, San Luis County Planning Commission, rules for zip lines getting on track. So here are people who are formulating... regulations for zip lines who probably don't know the first damn thing about them.
Calling all coffee lovers! Red Dirt Coffee House in Arroyo Grande announces new daily specials every weekday for only $5. On Mahalo Monday, you can enjoy any made-to-order sandwich. On Tiki Torch Tuesday, it's the Hot Crater Chicken Sandwich. Wahini Wednesday, try the Grilled Veggie Lanai Wrap. Kama Aina Thursday, it's the Bird of Paradise. And on Huli Huli Friday, go a little Lolo with a Lolo Melt. And don't forget the regular menu featuring delicious homemade soups, sandwiches, and salads made with the freshest ingredients. Always serving the finest Hawaiian coffee varieties, Red Dirt Coffee House has an extensive menu of specialty coffees and teas. Located next to the Spencer's Market at Grand and Cortland in Arroyo Grande. Call ahead to place your order at 473-3083. Stop by today and experience the island style where the coffee is always hot and brewed with aloha. That's Arroyo Grande's favorite, Red Dirt Coffee House.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a $1 million smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place. Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
Thank you.
Great old Fleetwood Mac song done by the Jazzmasters and Dreamers. You're Bill Benica, Talk to Chief, Friends and Neighbors Network, 1340 KYMS, your news station. Thanks for joining me today. You know what they had a picture of? And so I looked it up. As a matter of fact, I just did it here. And amazingly, this computer actually pulled it up. Are you kidding? All right. They have, this is what the outfit is that has the picture of the Costa Concordia, the cruise ship, on its side, taken from space, is an outfit called Digital Globe. And so if you go to their site, just Google Digital Globe and go right to their site, they have that picture is the first thing you see. Then they have a picture, they have interesting pictures. They have a picture of a Chinese aircraft carrier, which the Chinese probably don't want us to have. They got a picture here of extensive damage in a missile-related facility in Iran. They have a football stadium here. They have, well, you got a whole city here. I don't even know what city this is. Anyway, that's an interesting thing, though. So, you probably have to pay for it. That's what I'm saying. It says products, industries, gallery, purchase. I would assume that's the thing. I'd have to look at it. I haven't looked at it before this, so I don't know. There's basic satellite imagery, standard stereo imagery, 8-band multi-spec imagery, global base map, precision aerial, advanced ortho series. I think this is precision happiness right here, this picture from the Concordia. Definitely amazing to see that thing sitting there halfway in the water. So here's the other thing about the ship, as you may have heard. They're not quite sure if they're going to be able to, they want to salvage it. They want to hopefully can salvage it. But the other problem is that it's on a precipice. A precipice. And they're concerned that this thing could just all of a sudden slide. And if the weather gets really bad, which they're worried about anyway, and slide down, it would go down to about 200 feet. In which case, that's a whole lot less salvageable at that point, I would imagine. There's not much left there. Really, you want to, you don't want the mattresses anymore, the pillows, most of the bedding, I'd say. And the electronic stuff probably won't work either up to that. We'll see what they do. Okay. The amazing thing when you see this picture is, and go to Digital Globe if you haven't seen it. The Tribune has a picture of it today. But it's just to see how close this thing was. It's just somebody was an idiot. They said that this thing, the ship, had come close to shore before. But they said that at that time, this gets to be conflicting weirdness. They said the last time that it came close to shore, the captain had permission from the cruise line to do it. So now this is what's kind of funny about that. He claims it was unchartered water, which, of course, has been chartered now for 3,000 years. But he said it was uncharted water. Well, he's already been through it, so why wouldn't he have a chart? I asked you on the phone to say hello today. Have you?
I got a suggestion for the people of the island.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
If this ship goes off the precipice, if it was going to be 100 feet deep.
200 feet deep.
Huh?
200 feet, they said.
Or 200 feet. Well, that would get underwater. The size of that bad boy is twice the tonnage of the Titanic.
Yeah, I know it's a huge ship. I mean, but yeah. Try to think about that. Think of that. It's twice the size.
You go down the precipice and hopefully land, or leave it there. What a fantastic scuba tourist attraction.
Well, I guess the area where it is a big tourist scuba attraction now. So you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. That would work. Salvage everything you can salvage out of it. Yeah, why not?
That would look good. Sure, there's no compartments you can get into and you can't get out of.
Well,
you know,
here's the thing. The people that are already working at it and trying to find some of the missing, they had a thing yesterday they showed where the guy takes a rope, attaches it outside. Every time he makes a turn, goes up, down, sideways, right or left, whatever he does, he ties it off, and then he can find his way back. It's kind of like Hansel and Gretel. But
I was just going to say, there's breadcrumbs.
Yeah, but the thing is that, I can't think of a wreck. I don't think there's any wreck close to anything this size that divers can explore, is there?
I imagine there are some, I don't know. The Montebello is close enough to shore. You can go dive on that.
Well, I know, but the Montebello doesn't have passageways like this thing does. This is how many stories high this guy. This thing should have about
a monster ship.
Yeah, it's about 20. Well, it's not 20, but it's 15 stories high, I'd say.
I was really flattered when they said it's twice the tonnage of the Titanic. Holy Toledo, that's a big ship.
Yeah, that's a big boat. No question about it.
Wonder how that guy got the captain's job. He's obviously incompetent on more than one level.
Well, no, everybody's competent until that one time.
His brother-in-law. Yeah.
He's 52 years old, which makes me feel like a really old man when this guy's 52 years old and he's a captain of one of these ships. But,
well, and, he'll be in 64 when he gets on slam.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's in big. I don't know, this whole issue of him being under house arrest when there's 21 people unaccounted for, and there's also already, what, four or five dead that are accounted for. It's like, why isn't he in the slammer?
He's not in the slammer?
He's at home.
Nah.
I beg to tell you that it's true. This may change by the end of the day because the prosecutors are trying to get him put in jail. But the judge said
if he doesn't go to prison, what's the point of having those laws?
Well, no, he'll still have to stand trial. But the judge said he didn't consider the man a flight risk, so he could be on home detention. Well,
since he's a pretty famous guy in Italy.
Well, I guess so, but still, you know what I mean? Yeah, but still, whew. That's I'd be flighting as best I could.
Yeah.
If I was this guy.
Yeah, I would definitely be going downtown and buying me a fake passport.
A fake passport and a fishing boat and head out.
Yeah.
Something. Anyway, that's interesting, Garrett. But you're right. I'm glad you brought that up because I remember hearing that also. It's twice the tonnage of the Titanic. It's a huge ship.
That's a big boat.
That's a big ship. It'd be interesting to see.
I think it would be a great diving destination.
Well, you know what's interesting? It'd be the idea that they could salvage this and they say, well, no, it's doable if we have time to do it before, you know, the thing falls off the cliff there. They say it's doable. It's amazing that somebody can even say it's doable. You know, when you look at the size of this thing and say, yeah, we think we can you know, upright the ship. And
that's going to be really interesting to watch them doing that.
But they said, however, they're talking about a year's time.
Yeah.
So this thing's going to be sitting there for a year.
Now, that's north of the equator, right? So they get the same season as we do.
Yeah, they're supposed to have some bad weather coming. So I really wonder if they're going to be able to secure this thing before it heads down the street there.
Man, I'll tell you what. I think if nothing else, that guy should be in protective custody.
Well, at least they gave him a good nickname. I liked it. Chicken of the Sea. I like that. I think that's appropriate for him.
Chicken of the Sea.
He said he actually fell into a lifeboat, you know, couldn't get out. So, I mean.
Let's talk to the other people in that lifeboat, see what they think about that.
Holy cow. Unbelievable. All right. Here.
Unbelievable. Incompetent and a coward. That's a hell of a combination.
It's a bad one if you're running a boat.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Gear.
You love it.
Talk to you again. All right. I know it sounded a little bit Star Wars-y there, that whole thing, but that's all right. We got through it. We did fine. That's just amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, I remember being a young lad. I was young then. I was young. And I can't even remember where it was because from the very beginning, I realized how fearful I should be of dentists. And so my mother was, I was up 5 years old, four, five, six years old. And so she had to go to the dentist, and so she took me with her. And you could hear that drill going. I was like, oh, my God. Anyway, but anyway, I was sitting in the waiting room, and they had the Life magazine of the Andrea Doria sinking, which it had just happened that week. And I was looking at this Andrea Doria sinking and the Stockholm collision they had, and that was a long time ago. Long time ago. These things sink, you know what I mean? You think they're not going to, but they do. Heavier water is the problem. All right, what else we got going on here? I got, let's run a thing here, if it'll run, on the Keystone Pipeline issue, and the president, of course, vetoed the pipeline at this point.
I've been up there. It's really quite a sight to see. There are two environmental issues here. One is, and not everybody knows this, the one that a lot of people think it is that if you pump oil through pipelines, the pipelines could and have leaked in the past, and it could go into the aquifer. We already established that going through the aquifer was not a good idea. They should have rerouted this pipeline.
You're talking about Nebraska.
Right. They were going to reroute it anyway. I mean, you never want to go through sensitive areas with oil, but we pipe oil all over the place. The real underlying protest here, which is what Daryl Hannah and many others have been involved in, is that to get oil out of Alberta, which is the biggest reserve of oil in this side of the world, and in some cases could compete with Saudi Arabia, the oil is in the sands. It's called oil sand. So it's, I've been there. I've held it in my hand. The oil is the sand is muddy with oil, and you have to boil water using hydrogen and basically melt the oil out of the sand, and it's a very complicated process that I'm oversimplifying right now, but that uses a lot of energy and has traditionally been more polluting than drilling a hole straight into the ground and having oil gush out. Mm-hmm. So it's not just that the oil could spill in the pipeline, which is Jessica is right, people in local communities are upset with that, but that can be overcome through technology and all sorts of things and putting the pipeline in less dangerous areas or less sensitive areas. The issue is we are buying what a lot of Americans think are dirty types of oil from Canada, and that's what has people annoyed. And I just want to reach over here for a second, Brooke. Yeah. I want to show it to you because I've got a bottle of it that I brought up for when I was in Canada. This is
the oil. Wait, did you keep this stuff on your desk?
Yeah, I clearly haven't had need to open it. For some time, but basically here it is. This is oil sand. I don't know how well you can see this, but basically I can crumble it, and it's sand, and it basically looks like you're holding tar, and you have to get the oil out of this. But if you smell it, it's oil, and what happens is when you process it, it gets put into these different constituent elements, different types of chemicals. This one here is looks like crude oil. You do all that work and you get crude oil, then you distill it into properly functioning oil, and that's what you normally get. So the process of getting from this gunk into this little area is what we think of as being dirty and polluting, and that's what's behind all of this.
So are you saying, because we had, the same day we talked to the guy from TransCanada, we had Daryl yep. Hannah on the show, and, you know, she yep. pointed out sort of anecdotally all these different instances with previous pipelines, you know, leaks. Yep. Spills, and that's yeah. part of their concern. But by, you know, showing me what you just showed me, I mean, is this as bad a stuff as some of these groups make out?
Well, you know, it depends where you come from. If you're yeah. if you were in the Gulf of Mexico, as you and I were when that oil spill happened, that was the worst thing that happened to you possibly, you know, in the entire time you've lived there. So I don't want to diminish what it is. The oil industry has not done the world's best job of saying we can clean up any spill as fast as it happens, as efficiently as we'd like to. I think, as Jessica pointed out, there's truth on both sides of this. Politics has muddied it, but we are big consumers of oil. We import most of our oil. Most of it comes from Canada. And other people are willing to buy that Canadian oil, in particular the Chinese. So from a buyer's perspective, it may not be the best idea to say we're not building the pipeline.
All right. Now, it's all very interesting. The other thing, too, is I find interesting about this whole thing with the pipeline is one of the things you mentioned is, you know, we actually have pipelines all over the place. Right now we have pipelines all over the place. What did they talk about doing? When they were going to put, they wanted to put the liquefied natural gas terminal north of Moore Bay, South Cayucas, right in the middle there. What they were talking about doing was, for a distribution system, was using the pipeline that had brought oil from Bakersfield, basically cleaned it out, and then they could pump the liquid natural gas through there. And over to Bakersfield, and so it would have been a reverse operation of what the oil operation was years ago. But luckily, we never had to get involved in that whole thing. But there's a lot of pipelines out there that are doing this kind of stuff. And then you have the PG&E pipelines that they can't hold up to what they're supposed to hold up to, which is really kind of weird. Okay, here's a strange tale here. This is a story that it amazes me. It amazes me how forgiving people can be of some things, and I just have to tell you that I try to be, you know, when the time is right and the circumstances permit. Other times I'm not so good at it. I admit it. Norman's a squirt of a pooch, long of body and standing no taller than shin high. His genetics may include Dachshund, Terrier, and Chihuahua. This story by Bill Moram in the Trib. Anyway, this little guy here, and Patty Toes, I hope I'm saying, or Tui's, maybe Lososos, I'm getting a phone call in the middle of things here, so let me interrupt myself, and I'll get back to it. This is an interesting story. Hello?
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi,
Sam.
How are you?
I just was driving in, pulling in the driveway, and I was listening to the tar sands argument, you know, the pipeline thing.
Right.
One thing I don't understand, this is being touted as a way of making America energy independent. In other words, so we don't have to import more oil. But if I understand it, this pipeline is going to run down to, I don't know, Galveston. The oil will be refined into products and then shipped to China. So how does that make us energy independent?
I don't know. You know, this
that just can't, it's like, what?
Well, here's the statistic. Remember I told you, I mentioned the other day, our largest export last year was fuel. Fuel, not airplanes, not corn, fuel. And what we do is we, because we have the refineries here that I guess some countries don't, they say, okay, fine, we can buy it cheaper from the U.S. than it costs us to build a refinery and do it ourselves. So,
we spend gazillions of dollars shipping oil out of here and then spend gazillions importing.
It makes no sense. Well, actually, what they're saying again is that they refine it. So what they do is they bring the oil in and then they take a chunk of that that they've turned into gasoline and turpentine and plastic and all this other stuff, and that's what they ship out. So the question that no one has answered is at this point, having found out that statistic, is, well, okay, how much of the refined product are we actually exporting? If it's our biggest export, and when you talk about, you know, you talk about military hardware, aircraft, et cetera, you talk about Boeing's and the airplanes they're selling worldwide last year, and you're saying that it's more than that? Well, holy cow, that's a lot.
But how do we gain energy independence? It sounds to me like we're selling the very thing that we're supposed should be hanging on to in order to get free of all these, you know, the foreign oil fields.
I don't get it. And here's the other thing too. You know, we've been friends with Canada for a long time. Now, Canada, of course, luckily is not part of OPEC, so that I think that's
right.
What everybody feels is the saving grace of having Canadian oil is that we're not under the thumb of OPEC.
Well, it would make sense if we kept it.
Well, yeah, but here's the other, well, that's true, but here's the other thing.
We bought it, kept it, and used it.
Well, here's the next thing, though, is that we are the Canadians going to guarantee what they're going to charge us for this product? I don't think they can do that. You know, I don't think anybody can say, well, okay, for the next 10 years, I'll sell it to you at this price.
Are they selling us oil, or are they just selling us a pipe through which they will transport oil, which will then be sold on the open market, and it's still Canadian oil?
The thing I also do, well,
that doesn't make any sense.
And the other thing, too, is the process by which they're going to turn this tar sand into oil. I'm not sure if that's at their end of the pipe or our end of the pipe.
Oh, no, they have to do it up there because it's not liquid, it's solid.
Well,
and
I know, it's
they're
like...
They're going to have to turn it into some kind of oilish product that could be superheated like they do up in the tundra.
But you could...
To get it to go through the pipe, I believe.
Well,
otherwise, they'd put it in a truck.
Well, or you could slurry it. I mean, it could be slurried, you know, and go through a pipeline. But I don't know the answer to that. But let's assume that they're going to do it up there. Okay, I'll buy that. I got to talk to you about another story, though.
But either way, no. One of the problems they don't want to discuss is the amount of energy use involved for the impact on greenhouse gases is apparently going to be a game changer, a deal breaker.
Well, here's the other thing. You know,
that's the end of all of us.
This becomes the issue with any time you're saying, okay, I'm going to produce this to get energy some other way. How much energy are you using to produce the new energy source?
Yeah.
Well, you have the same thing holds true, quite frankly, with cars. You know,
yeah.
When they say you have an electric car, well, you got to produce the electricity. The electricity has to come from gas or coal or someplace. They have to, you know, be able to burn it and say, okay, here's electricity.
But none of this leads toward anything even vaguely close to new technologies to reduce, CO2 or to move us in a direction of sustainable power at all. Zero. It's like 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
The sad part is they have you see it, I see it, and then it just disappears. And I guarantee you, Anne, I would bet my eye teeth on the fact that they buy this technology from these inventors, the oil companies, and then they just make them go away. Because they had a guy again not too long ago that could take a gallon of water – and extract the hydrogen from it at a cost of about a third of what a gallon of gas costs, and then have, you know, usable hydrogen that could power a vehicle. And then the only byproduct is water. So here they had the guy on TV, you know, and then you never hear from the guy again. And he's about the third one I've seen that had some kind of a deal like that. And they just disappear off the face of the earth. I don't know.
My bet is if they have contacted it either hasn't panned out quietly or it's not to the point where it's financially stable enough to work in large quantities. And they are working on that quietly until it's ready to roll, and then they'll own the world.
Maybe, and that could be also, and maybe the petroleum companies have it. I mean, here's the interesting thing.
Oh, for sure they do, because their existence depends on their moving into different technologies to survive, because ultimately your oil is going to peak out.
But the other thing,
you're going to have to make a transition,
right.
And you know they're fixing to be right there at the crossroads.
Well, sure, because they have right now, I mean, they have the only distribution system.
Right.
You know, so if you had to go to nitrogen or hydrogen or
whatever.
Anything else in the world.
Yeah, they want to be able to, each company, I'm sure, is racing, you know, like the moonshot. They want to be the first one to get a technology that becomes stable.
Right.
And usable and affordable compared to what we've got now and still remains clean or green or whatever. Because then they will be the other, they'll be the iPod, I mean the Apple, you know, I mean they'll be Steve Jobs, boom.
Let me switch gears with you because I want to ask you a question because this happened in your neck of the woods. Did you read Bill Morum's column today?
Yep.
Okay. So you have a lady that's walking her dog on a leash. They have two pit bulls that are off leash that attack her dog. And the dog ends up with $1,900 in vet bills.
Yeah.
And so Bill Morum's basically appealing to the people, if they're local, which we don't know if they are, to say, you know what, you should really cough up the dough to help pay for this dog's injuries.
Right. Legally, they're responsible for it. But there's something he failed to mention as well that's even more serious. It's clear from the behavior that the people involved, because they haven't stepped up and basically disappeared, they didn't stay with that woman and give their name and address and all that. That tells me they're irresponsible dog owners. Number two, they have now proven they own a couple of dangerous dogs. That's
right.
Number two.
Right.
Second, you know this is going to happen again with some flaky people that are irresponsible, and next time it may be a kid.
Well, and yes, exactly. And you know, the sad thing is that this, and I bless her heart, this Patty woman says, I forgive them. I mean, the dogs, when they're off leash and they run together, they become a pack. They get the pack mentality going on. And that's why they're not supposed to be off a leash.
Well, exactly.
That's the whole point.
Like I say, I'm hoping somebody will figure out who these people are and run them to ground, because they need to get themselves and those dogs, number one, on the radar of animal services.
Now, here's it.
And then, two, if there's any way to get them some kind of basic training or information so they understand what they're dealing with those dogs, because a lot of people have no clue. They're just completely clueless about the nature of a dog.
Here's what's interesting. Jennifer Vandersmith, who's the Tribune's pet columnist, is highlighting today, don't pigeonhole this affectionate pit bull.
Right.
I you know more about dogs than I certainly do, but I, from my experience and what I've read, I wouldn't own a pit bull. I just don't think I would own one.
Well, there's some absolutely fabulously bred genetic sweetheart pits, and any dog can be, you know, trouble depending on the dog.
Right.
There's some very badly bred pits out there that are, you know, you can breed for aggression.
Okay, you can
if
breed.
That's
can
what
you,
you're after.
And you're saying you can breed aggression out.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Very carefully. Every dog has a, you know, any dog is potentially dangerous. They have sharp, pointy teeth, and they're animals.
Yeah, right.
You know, and once you understand that and you get to know that your own dog, you know, I have a butthead dog that never goes off leash because he's an idiot. And I just, that's him. God bless his little rotten soul. So, you know, that's part education and understanding a dog. But you can also breed dogs with very unstable temperaments, and they become dangerous, and they could be a Chihuahua.
Yeah.
It's just the big dogs tend to do bigger damage because they get big, pointier teeth.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can have, you can breed a really lethal, unstable dog, or you can breed an absolute steady, calm, stable sweetie pie.
Speaking of breeding, we're going to next hour. We'll talk about the opinion piece in the Tribune about Frankenfood.
Yeah.
And how we
One
feel
thing
about
you hit on that I was driving, so I couldn't call. With the Adam Hill thing, with the phone call where he was pranking some lady,
yeah,
and they can't remember, does this speak to some kind of issue with blackouts? And the second weird thing is if he's supposedly doing this as a joke on his friend or opponent or whoever the guy was.
The opponent.
Why would he prank this poor woman?
Exactly.
That doesn't make any sense either.
Exactly. I mean, he and the other thing is he must
have. We were talking about unstable dogs.
Yeah, I mean, a very
I think Mr.
very strange,
Hill is unstable.
Very strange behavior, no question about it.
Yeah.
All right.
Whoa.
Well, we'll get to more. So I got another story coming up this next hour that Newt Gingrich's ex-wife says that what he wanted was an open marriage.
Yeah.
The woman he was having an affair with, who's now his wife, she didn't care if he was, doing her and the wife. So why should the wife care if he was doing the wife and her?
Oh, conservative family values. Don't you love it?
But remember, it was for America that he was doing it.
That's, oh,
he
yeah,
was,
yeah.
He was
well,
so patriotic.
That kind of fashion.
That's
see,
right.
It'll get you in trouble.
And I said that may be true, though, because that woman that he's married to looks quite a bit like an eagle if you look at her head on. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. That's just she looks kind of like an eagle.
Sharp, yeah. Pointy beak,
sharp,
eh?
Sharp, pointy beak, okay.
And talons.
Thank
you.
Probably those.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ann.
Okay.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye. All right, who knows? But anyway, so now we got what? Rick Perry dropped out and said he's going to endorse the Newt. So this whole thing's getting wild. I guess there's another debate on tonight. I've watched it. Just tell me how it turns out. You know, it's kind of like, fine. When the finals come out, it's like the Super Bowl, I'll be there. You know, but mostly for the commercials. All right, it's 1 o'clock. We're going to join CBS News and find out what else is happening in our world.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The race for the Republican nomination to the White House is bubbling over with new headlines today, starting with Rick Perry's withdrawal from the race.
This is Howard Arenstein. Perry endorsed Newt Gingrich as the best candidate to beat President Obama.
Newt is not perfect. Who among us is?
Gingrich's ex-wife gave media interviews saying he asked her for an open marriage, but the latest polls have him running even with Mitt Romney in South Carolina.
Rick Santorum is the only other conservative now in the race. The practical matter is I am the only person who can beat Romney.
Santorum was bolstered by news that he actually finished ahead of Romney in Iowa.
It's mildly good news for him heading into South Carolina,
says political analyst Larry Sabato. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
It's nasty slick in Seattle. Snowstorm turned into ice storm. CBS's Barry Peterson.
It's hard to get around. It's dangerous to go anywhere because there's ice all over the place. As you would expect, the airport is up, but a lot of flights have been canceled. People are being stranded.
This just in, world-class Canadian freestyle skier Sarah Burke has died. She was badly hurt last week during a training accident in Utah. The capsized cruise ship off the Italian coast is stabilized, and the search for bodies is underway again.
The search was concentrated today on a place called Level 4. It's where they think there's an assembly point there, and that's where they think they'll probably find the remaining body.
CBS's Alan Pizzi. More than 20 people are missing. One of the world's largest file-sharing websites based in China has been shut down.
The FBI is accusing this popular file-sharing site of depriving content holders of more than $500 million in revenue. Mega Upload has been accused in the past of piracy and has engaged in a legal battle with Universal Music.
CBS News and CNET tech consultant Larry Magid. Now, this is a headline. Not exactly new news, but it's a headline. Sex is good for you.
When you have sex.
There certainly is a modest increase in heart rate and blood pressure. This usually is not excessive.
With that in mind, the American Heart Association is issuing a scientific statement telling heart and stroke patients if their conditions are stable, sex is generally safe. Baylor Dr. Glenn Levine says anyone with doubts should raise questions about the issue, even if their physicians are reluctant to talk about it. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
On Wall Street, the Dow's up 46 points. The NASDAQ has gained about 18. Johnny Otis has died. He was a band leader, a radio host, and he helped introduce white America to black music in the 50s.
Beat of my heart.
Otis was white, but he grew up in a black section of Berkeley, California, and adopted the culture. Willie and the Hand Jive was his. He also wrote Harlem Nocturne and Every Beat of My Heart. And Johnny Otis was 90. This is CBS News.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork. Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
I like my insurance like I like my burrito, with everything rolled into one. In a state of craving, amigo. So my agent showed me how it's done. He wrapped up my auto, my home, and my life. The discounts I'm getting are great. Everything good, right there on one plate. Get to a better state, State Farm.
Making sure they're as ready as possible for terror threats against the London Olympic Games.
On the River Thames, Royal Marine Commandos in motorized inflatable boats. Above, helicopters directing the action. Police and military in anti-terrorist war games 6 months before the Olympics. Terrorism expert Andrew Silk.
The threat of terrorism against the Olympics is real. It's got to be on their radar. It's got to be a target that they would like to get.
That's right, agrees terrorism specialist Peter Newman.
The Mumbai attacks, they started with maritime invasion.
Officials claim there's no specific threat. This is about being prepared. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Winter brought those heavy snows to Washington State. To the south, it's flooding rains in Albany, Oregon. A flooding creek swept into a parking lot and snatched a car out of the lot and sent it downstream. A man and a child in the car were rescued. A mother and child were taken away. Another man is also missing in that flooding. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We're all resolving to run our lives a little better. Why not start with making sure our vehicles run better, too?
The seasons have taken a toll on your car and your car battery. But Sears Auto Center, featuring diehard batteries, is here to help. Come in today and ask about a free battery check so you don't have to worry about getting stuck with a dead battery. Plus, save on all Michelin tires and get a $70 Sears Award card instantly when you buy four. So you can add another resolution to your list, saving some money. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. Sears Auto Center. While card quantities last, in-store only. Ends 1/28. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
The National Disaster Search Dog Foundation makes emergency response in America stronger. They partner rescue dogs with firefighters to save people who are buried alive in a disaster. Your donation from $10 to $10,000 can help rescue and train a dog and ensure that when disaster strikes, no one is left behind. Please be part of the search. To contribute, call 888-459-HERO or visit searchdogfoundation.org. That's 888-459-HERO or searchdogfoundation.org.
Thank you.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shu Shun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people in the right place all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
Want to improve office morale around the break room? Are you tired of hearing employees grumble about bad office coffee? There's an easy solution to this. Invite Slow Roasted Coffee's office service into your business. They're your local coffee company that features fair trade, certified, organically grown coffees roasted daily and delivered fresh to you, so you can taste the difference. For 24 years now, this locally owned and operated family business has been serving the Central Coast. Slow Roasted Coffee believes customer service really does matter, which is why they provide 24-hour customer care. Slow Roasted Coffee's office service is perfect for the workplace as well as restaurants and lodging facilities. You'll never have a bitter cup of coffee again. Consistency, freshness, and convenience is what you'll enjoy when you call Slow Roasted Coffee's office service. Call them at 528-7317. That's 528-7317. Coffee, the original energy drink.
San Luis Obispo's Palm Theater is your ticket to cinema for the soul. Jim D's Palm Theater shows first-run film festival favorites for those who seek movie mastery that runs deeper than the overly hyped pedestrian fare. This marvelous intimate multiplex is known as the Slow Theater, where the prices and popcorn are the best in town. Green as a bean, the Palm is also the only solar-powered theater on the Central Coast. Across from the Palm Street parking garage, the Palm on Palm. Cinema for your soul.
The Palm's on Palm, and it's cinema for your soul. Right there it is. Here's Bill Benneke. This is Talk is Cheap, your friend.
Monday, happy days.
I've got to put this in. I just made history. I'm the only person I know that interrupted themselves, which is kind of amazing. Hi, you're Bill Banker, Talk is Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNH station. Hey, you say, you know, Bill, you've been doing this a long time. You think you'd kind of get it down, wouldn't you? I'm working on it. Trying to get it down. Okay, we've had animal stories today, and we talked about some animal stuff. And then I don't know if this is going to play directly or whether it's going to be a commercial first, if it plays at all. This is about a strange, interesting thing. But he says that an Ohio farmer says that having waterbeds are good for the cows. A car ad with no talking.
They're supremely agile.
There it is, talking.
Remarkably powerful. And fiercely independent. This is Jaguar at play.
Welcome to Conrad Farms in Penfield Township. Better known as a spa for cows.
The cow's comfort has improved dramatically.
These 200-plus cows have no problem resting. After all, they get to sleep all day in a bed.
They're 7 foot in length, 4 foot wide, just a rubber mattress. Each stall has two bladders to them, or pillows, and there's 14 gallons of water in each stall.
Wait a minute. Did he just say his cows are sleeping on water beds?
These water beds offer a clean, low-maintenance bed for the cows to lay in.
Each water bed is valued at $300. Talk about milking the system.
We do the very best we can to keep the cows happy and content, and in return, they'll take care of us.
So what do you think of your new bed? Is it moving? Yeah, that's what I thought.
When they lay on the water mattress, they don't have that pressure point on their hocks or knees.
And just like humans, a good night's rest can go a long way for a cow.
We've noticed in the last 5 months or 6 months that our milk quality has gone up quite a bit.
All they need now is a TV and some exercise equipment, and they could call this a bed and breakfast.
I guess.
Viola Arnold.
Be quiet. All right. I don't know why he would say it's cleaner, because, you know, the cows, they don't discriminate about one particular thing they do, or two particular things they do. You know, that's why they're called one and two, I suppose. All right, let's get to some other stuff here. Well, this is an interesting story right here. Pismo Chamber plans a Cuba trip. The Royal Grand is also planning a trip to another communist nation as to ease travel restrictions. Both trips open to non-members. So you can go to Cuba. I'm just sitting here thinking, you know, of all the choices you could make. Cuba? Okay. All right, now, lawyer. Jeweler knew he was buying stolen goods. Prosecutors say that all the glitter's worker was trying to gain edge to buy cheaper stuff. So it's being Karen Gray is doing the prosecution, deputy district attorney, and she's tough. Anyway, but here's the indication that he had to know that something was wrong, because he was very familiar with jewelry, and he bought a stolen diamond ring worth about $20,000 for $204. A sapphire piece of jewelry that was valued at $4,500 for $132. Kind of an indication that, you know. Now, you could say, well, maybe you just thought the person who was selling was an idiot. You know? No, nobody's that dumb. You can't fix dumb, but sometimes it doesn't get that far. Rules for zip lines getting on track. Well, I'll tell you, that's just cracking me up right there. Did they consult anybody about zip lines? Is the Planning Commission to consult? Do they know anything about zip lines? Do they get people in that do know something about zip lines? I don't know. Other things going on. Heavy things are going on. We have county workers who helped heart attack victim are honored. The sheriff's supervisors recognized the people for doing CPR and using a defibrillator on the thing. So luckily they had one of those things around. Anyway, they saved a life, and that's cool. So that's all it takes right there. Governor's Brown's State of the State ran the gamut, according to the Sacramento Bee, including things like water. In a speech, Brown talked about restoring 100,000 acres of habitat in the San Joaquin Sacramento Delta, part of a larger plan to build a new water delivery canal or tunnel through the Delta. School testing, Brown says, time to reduce the number of tests and get the results of the two teachers, principals, and superintendents in weeks, not months. High-speed rail, Brown continues to support construction of high-speed rail, calling it a wise investment given the alternatives. But where does he want the first phase constructed? In the Central Valley and Southern California, both at the same time? And if he's not yet ready to answer that question, what process will the High-Speed Rail Authority use to arrive at an answer? You do it like it with the Transcontinental Railroad. You know, you meet in the middle. And then you start there, meet in the middle. I thought cutting the baby in half. I was like King Solomon right there. I thought that was the obvious answer. I could be wrong, though. Hey, I haven't been wrong before. Well, here was the thing that they had in here today, and this was a Viewpoint article. This is what includes Melody DeMeritt, Stephen Marks, Jono Kincaid, Cal French, Pat Desart, and Greg McMillan, who are all members of the San Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club. So what they're talking about is there's been some hesitation by producers to have to label whether or not you have genetically altered food that you're eating. And they can come up, so they're saying, well, you can come up with all kinds of excuses, but the reason is you don't want people to know that you're very genetically altered food, which they probably are. So it says if you have a petition, somebody's passing around because they got to get, you know, a zillion signatures like you have to get to get anything on a ballot, then please sign the dotted line. It's called GMO, genetically modified organisms. So they have all these different things, you know, that they have already on these things. They need 504,000 votes, and it has to do with the stuff that you've already known. The
So people have different feelings. I have to tell you the truth. I don't have much feeling about one way or the other. You know, you just eat it. But there are people that are concerned. You know, they're worried about that. Interesting thing is, though, to me, is that before we did it genetically, we just did hybrids. We just kept, you know, breeding plants different directions and all that. But now they can make, pest-resistant plants, and they can make frost-resistant plants. They can make squish-resistant tomatoes and all that kind of stuff. And they can make glowing fish, which you're not allowed to buy in California. I don't understand California. Why do we always have to be like that? I don't understand. Potato altered with bacteria genes, corn altered produced pesticides, super pigs altered with human growth genes, and fish altered with cattle growth genes. It makes sense, though, when you think about the cattle thing and the water beds. Now the fish, the water beds, the cattle, the whole thing ties in together. Sorry. But if you're not into eating genetically modified food, you want to know that you're eating that genetically modified organism, than a GMO, then you need to go look for a petition or go to the Sierra Club chapter. There's an address. I'll tell you. Because, you know, you might not want that stuff. Petitions will also be available at the Sierra Club office, 974 Santa Rosa in San Luis Obispo, any weekday between 1 and 5 from February 13th through April 6th. You can also volunteer for signature gathering, et cetera, et cetera. See what I see what you mean. All right, there you go. GMOs. Which I originally thought was get more onions. Okay, rice makes fair trade a career. This is a guy's name, by the way, not the rice product. After years of living in the mountains of northern Nicaragua as an agriculture aid worker trying to make life better for the country's poor farmers, Paul Rice woke up and smelled the coffee, specifically fair trade coffee. So here's the thing right there. Here's by the numbers. Let me just tell you about fair trade. 800 companies in the United States that sell certified fair trade products, 1.3 million individual farmers and workers that reach 5 million when family members are included in 70 countries. $250 million since 1998, fair trade has resulted in that amount being paid to fair trade farmers above what they would have been paid otherwise. But then they have an article here today. They have a story here. This isn't fair. This isn't fair trade in any way, because by the time it gets to you, it hasn't been fair at all, because this is a chocolate billion-dollar industry. Starts with workers like Abdul on Ivory Coast Farm. Abdul is 10 years old, a three-year veteran of the job. He has never tasted chocolate, and he has been doing this since he was 7 years old. So let's see if we can go ahead and click this thing and see what it is. We may get a commercial for some reason. We are. There's no talking. So I should probably tell you who it's for. It's for the Cleveland Clinic.
On this farm, we find Abdul. He survived 3 years of work. He's just 10. He earns no wages for his work, he says, just food, the occasional tip from the owner, and the torn clothes on his back. Put in the simplest of terms, Abdul is a child slave. We move away from the group so he can speak more freely, and through our translator, he tells us his story.
If he had a choice, he wouldn't work.
Abdul says he's from neighboring Burkina Faso. When his father died, he says, a stranger brought him to Ivory Coast. Abdul has never eaten chocolate. Tells us he doesn't even know what cocoa is for. We met Yaku on the same farm, also from Burkina Faso. My mother brought me when my father died, he tells me. Yaku insists he's 16, but he looks much younger. His legs bear machete scars from hours clearing the bush. The emotional scars seem much deeper. I wish I could just go to school, he says, to learn to read and write. But Yaku says he's never spent a day in school.
There you are. So you're eating your chocolate bars there.
that's what's going on.
Okay. Other things that are in the news here. This is here's the headline here. Seven charged in record $78 million insider trading case. And this, so they can get a lot more than seven if they want to arrest all the members of Congress that are involved in insider trading. But I don't see them doing that right now. The International Monetary Fund seeks up to $500 billion in new funds. Get it from somebody else, okay? Goldman's income falls, but that's all right, because Goldman Sachs and net income fell 58% in the last 3 months of last year because of lower investment banking fees in a quarter marked by choppy financial markets. Investment banks said Wednesday that it made $1 billion, or $1.84 per share, from October through December. So that's not too shabby. Rising factory output is helping the economy, which is good news. U.S. wine exports hit a record levels in 2011. Wholesale prices fell last month, and U.S. home builders are growing a little less pessimistic about depressed housing market. Now, there was another term I heard yesterday, a temporary construction job. All construction jobs are temporary. They're only good as long as that project is in front of you. Then hopefully whoever you're working for gets another project, or it was temporary to begin with. It's temporary. All there is to it. That's what I'm thinking. All right, so that's some of what's going on there. Let's see what else we've got going on. Let's see what else I got happening. Let's see what else I have happening. So they did the internet blockout thing yesterday, and it spurs action among users and legislators. So we don't know what's going to happen with the thing. This is the SOPA, Stop Online Piracy Act, and so a lot of people, again, are saying, you know, the people that have copyrights are saying for music and movies and stuff, are saying we don't want people swiping these things. You can understand that. And then, then there's other people saying, well, you don't have, it'll end up being, they'll start to censor things that shouldn't be censored because they won't have a mechanism for pulling off the right things. Right. Now, we'll see if this is going to be lawsuit time, because it has happened in the past, but Pismo has approved a seawall for bluffs in a couple locations, and these are at Vista Del Mar and Ocean Boulevard in Shell Beach. And all I'm saying is you can hold your breath, because that may be countered and taken to court. Another a psychiatrist was attacked at a Tascadero State Hospital. Does it ever occur to anybody that these the people up there have gotten together and basically said, you know, this is what we need to do, is to attack the people that are watching us? Because you can't have this many attacks. You go along and you have one every now and then. I mean, every once in a great while you have one. Now we've had, what are we up to now? 9, 10 people? Something's going on. And why nobody's saying something's going on is beyond me. Okay, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was named ambassador to the Global Cultural Ambassador. He's going to take his jazz records, and go around the world. And he's a real tall man, so when he puts them in his boombox, nobody can reach it. That's good, because he had some solo one time and lost the fire. Mark Wahlberg apparently got his foot in his mouth. He apologized for asserting that he would have stopped terrorists from flying an airliner in the New York World Trade Center September 11th. But if he'd been on Flight 11 with his children, it wouldn't have gone down like that. But now he feels like I shouldn't have said that. It was disrespectful, and plus the fact that you don't know what you're talking about. Questions hanging over the future of Idol. It was on last night, right? And I forgot. I was going to watch it, and I forgot. So I don't know. Then I haven't watched this. I don't watch these series things. Not for any reason. I don't know why. I don't. Well, one thing I see advertised all the time. What are these things called, CSI and all these cop shows? God, there's a lot of cop shows on, and they always got some hulky dude and some babe. You know what I mean, I'm not going to say that we don't have hulky detectives on a slow PD and babes. I don't know if we do. But, yeah, can only be so many of them, you know what I'm saying? Okay. And then here's what happened on Modern Family. Coddler's cuss word draws the ire of this young man who started this thing called the No Cussing Club back in 2007. And so that's a little weird. He's asked his club's members, who he said number 35,000 U.S. What happened was that there's a little kid on it, a little baby, and so they had the toddler say fudge. but they pixelated out, you know, they had the F part, and then they pixelated out his mouth and everything, and obviously it sounded like another word. You wouldn't imagine it was another word. I think that's kind of funny, to tell you the truth. Okay. Because the whole show, the premise was that, you know, little kids hear words, and then they repeat them, and you're like, oh, no. Heaven knows I know. You know? So sometimes I can't help myself. It just comes out of my mouth. And not swear words, but just I say things, and then they repeat them to their dad. Like, okay. All right, now, we're supposed to not, well, we'll get to that. Wait, let's see that after, because we got the Swiss Dental people that are with us today, Dr. Carol Roberts. Carol Phillips, rather, and she's helping to sponsor the program. And so we want to make sure that we tell you about Swiss Dental. After first, we go to Chet Hogeboom and talk to him about the Sea Venture.
The month of January is restaurant month, and the Sea Venture restaurant invites you to come out to the beach and celebrate with this once-a-year special offer. The Sea Venture restaurant menu is a three-course menu priced at only $30 per person. For the first course, you'll choose between their award-winning clam chowder or the iceberg wedge with croutons, jalapeno bacon, avocado, tomato, and lime Caesar dressing. The second course choices are grilled filet mignon with scalloped potatoes with onion and mushroom ragu, or orange glazed salmon with pan-fried risotto cake and vegetables tossed with prosciutto. And save room for dessert, where you'll enjoy the mango mousse with coconut sauce, kiwi and dark chocolate, or the fantastic pineapple upside cake with cherry creme anglaise and vanilla bean ice cream. You can also make this a romantic overnight getaway with dinner for two, and you'll enjoy a room with a private balcony spa, fireplace, and breakfast delivered to your room, all for $159. Now that's a deal. So start the new year off right and come down to the Sea Venture and enjoy the great winter weather and outstanding cuisine at special restaurant month pricing. The Sea Venture Resort, the best on the beach in Pismo Beach.
I'm thinking about some dental implants. Give me a million-dollar smile. You know what I mean?
I know just the place. Swiss Dental Center.
No, I don't want to go to Switzerland. Figured I'd just stay here and get the work done.
You misunderstood. I said Swiss Dental Center on Higuera Street in San Luis Obispo.
Plus, I don't even have a passport.
Swiss Dental Center is right here. Dr. Carol Phillips is not only the only full-time dental implant specialist in the area, she's the one that teaches other dentists.
Plus, I have to get vaccinations to travel out of the country.
You don't have to go anywhere but right here. Swiss Dental Center even fabricates on site, so everything is perfect, just for you. Affordable, perfect fit, and convenient. That's Swiss Dental Center.
Nah, I think I'll just stay here and get the work done. Know any place good?
Swiss Dental Center on Higuera in San Luis Obispo?
Cool, thanks.
After that, you might want to have your hearing checked, too.
Hearing? I thought that was in Finland.
For more information, go online at SwissDentalCenter.com.
Okay, you're Bill Benneken. This is Talk of Sheep, friends and neighbors everywhere. Thank you for joining me. I don't need to have anything. Just relax. Let me share this story. They had this very briefly on the news. Let me share this story if I can. A Canadian freestyle skier who was seriously injured during practice in Utah last week has died, her family said Thursday in a statement released by her publicist. Sarah Burke, 29, died Thursday morning at the University of Utah Hospital in Salt Lake, where she had been treated for injuries she suffered during a training run at Park City Mountain Resort's Superpipe. Burke reportedly fell while trying a trick and whiplashed onto her side at Park City Mountain Resort's Superpipe on January 10th. She ruptured a vertebral artery in the fall, leading to an intracranial hemorrhage that caused her to go into cardiac arrest at the accident site. First, she was given CPR at the site. She was taken to the hospital where she was put on life support. And when a successful surgeon prepared the artery, one of four arteries supplying blood to the brain the next day, from the statement, that after the surgery, tests determined she suffered irreversible damage of the brain due to lack of oxygen and blood after cardiac arrest. Sarah passed away peacefully surrounded by those she loved. That's very interesting. All right, another thing's going on in our world. Here's the thing about the newt. The newt. Newt. President Newt. Anyway, here's the thing. Here's the thing. This might play after we hear a commercial or something. But this is where he said that his ex-wife said that he wanted to have an Mariana, so his ex-wife, wanted to have an open marriage.
I vote for American jobs.
I vote.
I vote for more domestic energy.
Energy from all sources.
To get America working again.
I vote.
I vote.
I vote for energy security.
That will come from developing
our own energy resources.
Like oil and natural gas.
Right here.
Right now.
Right now.
I vote.
To re-energize America.
With American energy.
Learn more at voteforenergy.org.
Just 2 days before the South Carolina primary, a potentially damaging interview with Newt Gingrich's second wife is scheduled to air on ABC tonight. In an excerpt, Marianne Gingrich tells ABC's Brian Ross that her former husband told her he wanted an open marriage.
I said to him, Newt, we've been married a long time. And he said, yes, but you want me all to yourself. Calista doesn't care what I do.
What was he saying to you, you think?
He was asking to have an open marriage, and I refused.
He wanted an open marriage?
Yeah, that I accept the fact that he has somebody else in his life.
And you said?
No. No. That is not a marriage.
Marianne Gingrich was referring to Gingrich's current wife, Calista. Gingrich isn't commenting on the interview, but his campaign released a memo to ABC News from his two daughters from his first marriage. Kathy Lubbers and Jackie Cushman say their father isn't talking about the past, but about who can defeat President Obama.
That makes sense right there. I got to give you that. I don't think I want to talk about that. I'd rather talk about, Obama. Actually, I want to talk about beating Mitt Romney before I can go beat Obama. There's a lot of beating going on. All right, other things are going on. Other things are happening in our world. Here's what I was telling you about. So here that we were just told, for the men were told that we don't have to have this prostate test, that isn't necessarily going to help you at all. Which makes us all very nervous, quite frankly. And now women can hold off on bone tests, apparently. Those with healthy scans can wait 15 years until the next test the study finds. So if you have a bone scan, 15 years. So it takes 15 years for something to go bad? Get all hunchied over and whatnot? Okay. All right. Well, I guess that. Okay. Other people in the news. They're searching that whole park, by the way, around the Hollywood Hill sign because they found some more parts, so they're trying to see what they can find out. Here was a great story here. Where's the guy that got 200 years? I got to find that guy. An economic analysis of how much it will cost to double the amount of western snowy plover critical habitat in Southern California was recently released. More than 70% of the $261,000 needed over a 20-year time frame would be spent at Vandenberg Air Force Base for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The proposal would increase habitat in coastal areas in Ventura County by about 400 acres. And for those of us that are totally confused by that, Vandenberg, you know, there's a whole lot of Vandenberg. There's nothing on it. You know, there's a whole lot of Vandenberg that isn't used. William Sonoma, now a chain store, may not find a home in Sonoma. Chuck Williams. Chuck Williams first. Chuck Sonoma. I like the mistakes I make. Chuck Williams first opened his shop in Sonoma, in the heart of Northern California wine country, in 1956. And eventually saw it grow on the Williams-Sonoma chain that is now worth $3 billion. Cookware Giant now wants to build a store at the same site in Sonoma where it first opened, but is facing hurdles as the Sonoma City Council considers a zoning ordinance to regulate chain stores in the city's historic district. City Council was to vote Wednesday on a temporary moratorium on chain stores from its downtown plaza while it drafts a permanent zoning ordinance. You would think they'd have a grandfather thing in there. You know what I'm saying? See, it's how Williams-Sonoma, the very name promotes Sonoma, California. You would think. Maybe they don't want to be promoted. I have no idea. How much tourism do they have enough? All right, we got one of these here. Right, here's one of these. I think I could get a job with the federal government. I really do. I think that as unqualified as I am in most areas of everything, I'm qualified enough to just come up with really dumb ideas. And I'll work for the FCC. Okay, other things that are going on. There's all kinds of people shooting people and doing other fun things to each other. Winter storm in the pack, winds of 100 miles per hour and dump more than a foot of snow in the Pacific Northwest could soon give way to another threat, and that, of course, is flooding when it gets warmer. From Olympia to the Oregon coast, the storm closed schools, caused dozens of flight cancellations, clogged roads with snow, and hundreds of accidents. Olympia had nearly a foot of new snow on the ground, an unusual amount for western Washington, according to the National Weather Service. Rain and temperatures in the 40s today and Friday could get the ground melting, so worry about that. And guess who's been around forever and has filed for Chapter 11, and that is Eastman Kodak. 131-year-old film pioneer's efforts to adapt to a world of digital cameras ran aground. As part of its filing, Kodak will seek to continue selling a portfolio of 1,100 digital imaging patents to raise cash for its loss-making operations. The company plans to continue operating normally as it reorganizes under Chapter 11. Okay. Well, it's kind of like Polaroid, too. You know, did Polaroid ever finally get into the acts of some kind? Do they have some kind of a camera? I don't know if they do. They might. But, you know, you kind of wonder. All right. Well, here it is right here. A 24-year-old man who was admitted killing four people and wounding four others in a stabbing rampage in New York City last winter was sentenced to 200 years in prison. Good. Good. Okay. And then a billionaire history buff has stepped forward to donate the $7.5 million matching gift that's needed to start repairing cracks near the top of the Washington Monument from last summer's East Coast earthquake. President David Rubenstein said he was inspired to help fund the repairs of the 555-foot obelisk. It became clear how severely damaged it was by a 5.8 magnitude quake on August 23rd. Of course, you have to remember, it's pretty old, and they weren't expecting the earthquake anyway. All right, now, you see the young people especially, you know, you see the young people are out there, they got bones in their nose and rings around their lips and their fingers and things, ears and eyelids and... Okay, and you say to yourself, I'm not brave enough to do that. That's what I say to myself. And you think the first thing I say to myself is, that looks really dumb. No. First thing I say to myself is, I'm not tough enough to do that. But here's the thing. How about if you're 101 years old?
Times of a dollar. It will be a dollar saved by somebody who switched to Esurance. Like dollar karma. Being online, Esurance saves dollars that come back as more dollars for you. So, karmerific. Esurance. Click or call.
Viola Arnold is turning 101 years old this week, and she'll have glitz and glamour that's not coming from her birthday cake.
For more than a century, she never gave it a thought, until a little peer pressure from roomies at the retirement home. Viola's getting fierce.
I think it'll be real nice to have them. It'll be a lot nicer than wearing the other kind.
Until now, she's been wearing clip-on earrings that pinch. Her family lives far away, but gave her all the encouragement she needs.
Oh, that's right. He said, go for it, Mom.
Her birthday wish is to have diamond earrings.
You said this is getting more and more exciting?
Yes. Yes, it really is.
And then her big moment.
One, two, three.
Oh!
Let me take a look at it.
Viola says it was worth waiting for. But did it hurt?
Well, just for a second, you know.
Just for a second there, yeah, I hate to tell you. My 8-year-old niece just got her first a few weeks ago. I asked her, I said, did it hurt? Did it hurt like heck? What's going on with you? No, it wasn't that bad. Okay. That's because she's used to her older brother banging on her all the time. Anyway, but that's it right there. How many? Somewhere along the line, there has to be people. There has to be people. I know that they try to be careful, but somewhere along the line, somebody has to go, oops, and not got them tight in the right place on both ears. You know what I'm saying? It had to have happened. It just had to. I know. As I consider the kind of technological problems I have, and I consider that, you know, poking holes in the ears much harder. Hey, other things going on. California, Governor Brown says California is on the mend. We'll use that term loosely right there. Okay. All right. Now, will the world move on without the leap second? Are you kidding? Today, the world will go to battle over a second in Geneva. 700 delegates from 70 nations attending a meeting of the UN Telecommunications Agency will decide whether to abolish the leap second, unlike the better-known leap year, which adds a day to February this year. A familiar 4-year cycle, the leap second is tacked on once every few years to synchronize atomic clocks, the world's scientific timekeepers, with Earth's rotational cycle, which does not run quite like clockwork. Next one is scheduled for June 30th. The U.S. is the primary proponent for doing away with the leap second, arguing that these sporadic adjustments, if botched or overlooked, could lead to major foul-ups of electronic systems that depend on the precise time. But Britain, along with Canada and China, argue that in the 40 years that leap seconds have been gracefully inserted in our midst, there have never been problems to speak of. And I heard the other thing. Because here's what's really weird about that statement. Because at this point, then, if you're if you say, well, okay, we got to have a leap second in there, and then so you add or don't add it, it doesn't matter because who's ever dependent on the clock thinks it's the time that it is anyway. You know what I'm saying? So how can that matter? Does that make sense? That makes sense to me, but only a little. Anyway, that's what I'm thinking about right there, is that it doesn't matter if you add one or don't add one because the clocks don't understand. But what they're basically saying is the people in Europe and stuff want to be a little bit more accurate. I give them credit for that. Now, this is an interesting statistic checkout. Abortion rates are higher in countries where the procedure is illegal, and nearly half of all abortions worldwide are unsafe, with vast majorities of developing countries. Experts couldn't say whether more liberal laws led to fewer procedures, but said good access to birth control in those countries resulted in fewer unwanted pregnancies. The global abortion rate remained virtually unchanged from 2003 to 2008, at about 28 abortions per 1,000 women aged 15 to 44. A total of about 43.8 million abortions, according to the study. 47,000 women died from unsafe abortions in 2008, the study said. 47,000. A copy of a magazine published by an arm of Al-Qaeda made its way to the terror suspect at the Guantanamo Bay prison, the prosecutor disclosed to the war court Wednesday. Navy Commander Lockhart told a military judge during a pretrial hearing that a copy of Inspire magazine got into a cell. She provided no details on who received the magazine or how she said the breach would have happened. The prison now has a policy requiring special review teams to examine correspondence between prisoners and attorneys. God. And because they're Muslim, you know, and it's Al-Qaeda, the fold-out in the magazines of a camel. So, it's, you know, different. All right. Dozens of civilians, NATO coalition troops, and Afghan security forces were killed and wounded yesterday when a suicide attacker blew himself up in a bazaar according to the top commander. U.S. General John Allen condemned the attack in Helmand province and said it was evidence that the insurgents had declared outright war on the Afghan people. The NATO statement did not disclose further details about how many foreign troops had been killed or wounded. And the war in Afghanistan has claimed the lives of two sons of an Arkansas couple who also have a third son in the military. Sergeant First Class Benjamin Wise of Little Rock was on his fourth deployment overseas when he was injured during an insurgent's attack on his unit last week. He died from his wounds on Sunday. His brother, 35-year-old Jeremy Wise, was killed in a terrorist attack on a CIA outpost in Afghanistan in December of 2009. That's Sullivan brothers, right? I assume that they have the rules are probably in place that were in place. I would imagine during the Vietnam War, and that was you could have two brothers overseas, but you didn't have to have two brothers overseas. So if one person was already drafted overseas during the Vietnam War, and then another brother was draft age, that they could draft him, but they couldn't send him to Vietnam. Because of the Sullivan brothers, back in World War II, there was five of them that were lost at sea. And the other thing that you could stay out of combat with, and stay out of Vietnam, out of a combat zone, was if you were the last male in your family to carry your name. So if there was no other males that could carry your last name, and you were it, you know, they said, well, that's make an exception for that. I'm sure that some congressman came up with that or something. He was kid up. But, you know, whatever. Whatever. Japan, and we can ask ourselves about, you know, Diablo. Japan may extend reactors' 40-year cap. Japan's planned 40-year cap on nuclear power plants could be extended up to 20 years, but exemptions will be rare, the government said Wednesday. Japan currently does not have a limit on the operational lifespan of reactors, and the government had hinted when it announced the cap that extensions were a possibility. The proposed legislation requiring plants to shutter after 40 years is part of the government's campaign to improve safety following the nuclear crisis set off by the March 11th earthquake and tsunami. Chief Cabinet Secretary Osamu Fujimura said the government will still plans to stick to the 40-year cap in principle. He said exemptions would be rare, with each reactor only allowed a maximum of one. Well, you can imagine that. I mean, after it's gone on for 60 years, they get brittle or something, don't they? Something not good happens with these reactors. Anyway. The 40-year rule is applied. 35 reactors would have to be closed by 2030, the Asahi newspaper reported. And I don't know about the newspaper, but they sure make a great beer, in case you've ever had one. And if you haven't, next time you go to get sushi or an Asahi beer, I think you'll like it a lot. You'll find it very tasty. Now, here we have the thing with China again. China, oil, oil, China, China, oil, oil, China. And, you know, how this affects our lives. And so the fate of an effort to isolate Iran may rest with China. The country is a top buyer of Iran's oil and is becoming a key test of the West sanctions. So now, as long as we're selling fuel and stuff, can we just sell them our stuff? Make them happy? How's that work? Most days, the announcement of an $8.5 billion joint venture oil deal between Saudi Arabia and China wouldn't raise eyebrows. Riyadh, after all, is China's largest supplier, but with the United States pushing for an oil embargo against Iran, China's third-largest oil provider, the calculus has changed. China is emerging as a key test of whether the West and its allies will be able to squeeze Tehran to slow its nuclear program. While China will play in the U.S.-led effort is still far from clear, the United States and others are watching Beijing's move closely for clues about its intentions. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do, but they can't figure out what they're going to do. They'd like to figure out what they're going to do, but right now we don't know. Friday,
And we'll have a good time. And then we'll have Karen Vili in probably right after noon o'clock. And then we'll have, I don't know, but I hope Jim D. will hope to join us at the 105. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But we'll have Friday. We'll have Friday regardless. And so we'll get together at noon. Until then, mail your trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because...
This is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network. Game over. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Happy trails.